Yesterday we celebrated the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Today we honor the Immaculate Heart of Mary. As I said, this is a double celebration because we not only honor the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we also celebrate Independence Day. It's striking that these two events fall on the same day in this 500th year of Christianity in the Philippines, as if to say the 500 years of Christianity is entrusted to the Heart of Mary, and the independence of the country is entrusted to Mary. At least that's how the bishops are celebrating it. Today the bishops united will be renewing the consecration of the whole country to the Immaculate Heart. I don't know if the government is going to pay any attention, but it's a fitting way of celebrating this double feast. Here we'll be focusing especially on the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And today's collect, the opening prayer, gives us a good introduction into and a description of what we're celebrating. The prayer goes like this: O God, who prepared a fit dwelling place for the Holy Spirit in the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, graciously grant that through her intercession we may be a worthy temple of your glory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, God, making a fit dwelling place for the Holy Spirit in the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that's what we celebrate, that Immaculate Heart, we pray that he will grant through her intercession that we may be a worthy temple of his glory. So Mary is a temple, a perfect temple. She prays that we also may be worthy temples of the glory of God. Our focus then is on this heart of Mary. The word heart in the New Testament, which is written in Greek, is cardia, the Greek word for heart, cardia, which is where in English we get all our cardio words, you know, cardiology, cardiologist, cardiac arrest. A few months ago, I went to see a cardiologist. Cardiologists study the heart. So she had all kinds of questions about my heart, my blood pressure, my heart rate, my pulse. She didn't ask about my spiritual life. She didn't ask about what I was thinking, what I was doing. In fact, she doesn't even know me. All she knows is my blood pressure and my pulse, the condition of my physical heart. In the scriptures, that's not the primary meaning of cardia. Cardia might refer to the organ, but usually it refers to the person, especially his or her inner life. What he's thinking, what he's feeling, what he has decided, how he feels drawn, how he feels moved. The heart is the interior of the whole person. So when we celebrated the Sacred Heart yesterday, we weren't celebrating Jesus' physical heart primarily. We were celebrating his whole person, which is all love, a gift of divine love. In the scriptures that talk about Jesus' heart, it's a reference to what's going on inside. So when he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, for I am meek and humble of heart." He could say, I'm meek and humble. It would still be true. In fact, it means the same thing. I'm meek and humble. But it seems to say more when he says, I'm meek and humble of heart. Like, it's deeper. Or when the scripture says that Jesus, looking at the crowd, was moved with pity, it says his heart was moved with pity. You could say he was moved with pity, sure, that's true. But when it says his heart was moved with pity, it sounds deeper, more complete. And when we use the word heart, this is how we use it. I could say, I give myself to you, or I dedicate myself to you, and that would be beautiful. But if I say, I give you my heart, it seems more, like more. And that's what we're focusing on here. Now we're focusing on the heart of Mary. And as you probably know, there are two scripture passages that refer specifically to the heart, the cardia of Mary. One is after the shepherds visit the newborn Jesus, Mary pondered this in her heart. And then the second one is in this passage which I just read, after the loss and finding of Jesus in the temple, it says that he came down to Nazareth and was obedient to them, and his mother kept all these things in her heart, in her cardia. We honor Mary's heart because it is immaculate. Immaculate. Jesus' heart is also immaculate, of course. There's no question about Jesus' heart being immaculate because God can never have any sin. But Mary, a human person, could sin, but she didn't. So the immaculate is a reference to that absolute freedom from sin. Kalinisli nisan puso ni Maria. People never let me forget the time when I was talking about the puso ni Maria, and I was still trying to get used to Tagalog, and I said, Kalinisli nisan puso ni Maria. And everybody laughed, the Immaculate Cat of Mary. So that was only a mistake. No, we're focusing on her immaculate heart, meaning walang kasalanan, no sin at all, a perfect response, a perfect receptacle for the gift of divine love. Jesus' heart is like the sun, Mary's heart like the moon. A perfect reflection, a beautiful reflection. The sun and the moon are alike in some ways. I mean, they're both heavenly bodies, they're both beautiful, they both give light to the earth. But the sun is the origin, the sun is the source of light, and the moon reflects that light to us. So that's Mary doing, what Mary's role is to us, a reflection of the light of God to us, a perfect reflection, a bright, an immaculate reflection. When we think of an immaculate heart, as a perfect heart, a perfect reflection, we would naturally think, well, there's no problems. Perfect joy, perfect peace, no suffering. Today's gospel tells us that's not true. That's not the way an immaculate heart works. Mary, as we see in this story about the loss and finding of Jesus in the temple, did not always experience perfect life, perfect peace. She didn't sin, but she did experience sorrow. This is, if you pray the fifth joy, we call it a joyful mystery, the fifth joyful mystery, but it wasn't all joy. They lost track of Jesus. They didn't know where he was. Imagine the anxiety. And she even says to Jesus, your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety. Sorrow, anxiety, grief, suffering. It's not alien to the Immaculate Heart. It's not alien to our hearts either. These are the experiences of life in this world. Things go wrong, things don't go the way we want, people disappear, or seems to us, and it seems sometimes as if God himself is not around. So we experience these times of sorrow, suffering. It doesn't mean that we sin, that we have to sin simply because we suffer. Mary shows us that there is a way to remain perfectly united to God without sin, even in times of great suffering, when it seems that God is absent from us. And this is part of what her intercession is for. It says in the opening prayer, God prepared a fit dwelling place for the Holy Spirit in the heart of the Blessed Mother. We pray that through her intercession, we may be a worthy temple of his glory. She prays that we can remain and keep growing in union with God without sin. Since this is Independence Day, we can also note something about the quality of Mary's heart in relation to independence. There's a right, a good, a holy independence, and then there's a wrong, sinful independence. We celebrate the good kind today. I know it's right for a nation to be free from oppression, free from foreign domination. It's right to celebrate that in 1898, the Philippines declared independence, a free nation. That's right. We are supposed to be free from domination of evil, of sin, of corruption. We're supposed to be free. We're supposed to be independent of all that doesn't belong in our spiritual life. But it doesn't mean that we stand like God, as if we can make all the decisions ourselves and decide what's good and evil. No. It doesn't mean that we depend solely on ourselves. Mary shows us the right kind of dependence. Dependence on God. Holy dependence on God. Submission to God. Willingness to let God's will be the determining factor in our life all the time. That's Mary's dependence on God, and that's why she's free, because she trusts in God. She's independent of sin because she's dependent on God. A good lesson for a nation, because no nation can thrive independent of God. No nation can succeed or even survive without respect for the will of God, the laws of God, of justice, of truth, of charity, of solidarity, of community. When a nation turns away from God, it is a self-destructive movement. So we pray for the nation. We consecrate the nation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that this lesson of finding freedom in dependence on God will be learned ever more deeply here. We pray for this for ourselves, that God, through the intercession of the Blessed Mary, of Blessed Virgin Mary, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, will make us worthy temples of his glory. We celebrate with joy the gift that we can be free from sin, we can be immaculate through God's grace, and we pray that we continue on this journey of freedom from sin, independence from sin, and a deeper and more joyful dependence on God.